TCL is a proud sponsor of the 1500 ESPN Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Raised on basketball. Raised in front of a computer screen. Raised for covering the game. Raised by Wolves. Now talking all things Timberwolves, the Raised by Wolves podcast.
Yes, indeed. We finally have some basketball to talk about as we're one game into the season for the Wolves, and it was a 112-108 loss to start the season in San Antonio. So the Wolves are 0-1 as of this taping. Got the home opener Friday against the Cavs. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, Derek, I was watching this game, and so much of what I saw in this game in San Antonio was exactly what we saw for pretty much 82 games last year.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll take that over what we saw in the preseason.
Right.
I was watching this the first quarter, and I was like, oh, God, this is the exact same thing that we already saw all last season. I mean, it was, you know, Jimmy and Wiggs pounding the air out of the ball, and Wiggins, you know, hoisting terrible shots. I mean, he got better, but as the game went on, but then you saw, you know, a lot of Derrick Rose, and it's like, wait, where's Karl Anthony Towns' shots? And it just felt like we were caught in a loop for, you know, at least the early part of the game.
Yeah, and you know, and Towns, obviously, I mean, Cat had a brutal night. I mean, he got into foul trouble early, just kind of took himself out of the game pretty much, and he ended up with 22 minutes. I think he had, what, 8 points, six rebounds, something like that. And he fouled out of the game in the fourth quarter. And, we know that what's happening in terms of just the relationship with him and Butler has been much talked about and speculated about. The relationship with him and Tibbs has been much talked about and speculated about. But, I'm watching this game last night, and I'm thinking, man, Cat's got to own some of this, man. Like, he's got to own some of this. He's got to play better, and he's got to be more disciplined defensively. He can't pick up cheap fouls, and he can't complain every time he doesn't get exactly the type of shot that he wants. And we're just kind of seeing the same sort of thing with him. And obviously, look, Tibbs is not doing him any favors, I don't think. And I don't think Jimmy Butler has done him any favors, but he's got to take some ownership of this, man. Like, he's got to take wear some of the blame and just say, I got to play better. And he's got to not only say that he's got to play better, but he's got to actually play better, you know?
Yeah, and I do think that, Kat, you're right. He does have to, you know, take ownership of some of this and maybe realize, you know, none of this is just going to be handed to me, you know, the way that, you know, Wiggins and Jimmy are just going to get the ball. I mean, because that's really where the offense clearly initiates with this team. And so he's have to go out and do, you know, put as much of his own fate into his own hands as he can, even if it's a little unnatural, because that's just the reality. You know, this team needs him to touch the ball. But I did like what I saw, too, at times on defense. I know LaMarcus Aldridge is a handful. I mean, for the Timberwolves front court, the starting front court did not play well last night. And I think we have, like, Jakob Poeltl. Turns out, incredibly underrated. I admittedly didn't watch a ton of Raptors. LaMarcus Aldridge, I mean, just a crafty veteran. I mean, he really, you know, I mean, I think he really challenged Towns. And there was one play in particular. Towns just, you know, played the post up perfectly, and Aldridge just made shots. And there's not a ton you can do about that except, you know, assert yourself on the other end and work to get yourself some high percentage looks and make sure you're doing everything else that you can, whether, you know, it's facilitating, rebounding, setting screens, anything that you can do to make up for what a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge is going to do to you.
Yeah, and I feel like the best way to help yourself defensively is to make your counterpart work offensively. And when LaMarcus Aldridge doesn't really have to play any substantial defense because you're either not really establishing yourself in the post or you're getting into foul trouble and taking yourself out of the game, and then, you know, thus Gorgui Dieng is coming in and picking up more minutes for you, and that's a much easier defensive assignment for LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, all due respect to Gorgui, but it's an easier matchup for him. It's an easier defensive assignment for him. So LaMarcus Aldridge doesn't have to work as much on defense, and it allows him to go and get offensive rebounds, which it felt like he had about 30 of them in the game. He ended up with 19 rebounds officially, but it just felt like he was getting every single offensive rebound that was available. And, you know, and that was a huge difference in the game is, you know, the Spurs would hit the glass hard. And there's just so much that we saw in this game that it's just everything repeating itself. And I don't, you know, obviously it's just one game, but we can't keep saying that. You know, we can't keep saying that, well, it's just one game, it's the first game of the season, because it's so much of what we saw last year.
Well, we spent 60 games saying it's just one more game, and then we're looking at, oh no, Jimmy's out. Oh crap, this playoff race is tight. Wish we had all those games against crappy Eastern Conference teams back. Wish we didn't drop the season series to the Suns and the Grizzlies. I mean, a lot of these little things add up, and I do think that's what, you know, is an attribute of great teams. They understand that the devil's in the details. I mean, you know, that every little thing that you do eventually adds up, you know, negatively or positively. And I mean, credit to Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan too. I mean,
yeah.
Thanks, Toronto, for trading him into this conference so the Wolves can play them 3 to 4 times a year. But he's just so crafty and sneaky that, yeah, it's a tough cover, but you can live with some of that stuff if you have, you know, the rest of your house in order. And, you know, we're clearly seeing this team isn't doing a ton yet to differentiate itself from the one we saw last season.
So in the case of Towns, all right, so going through Towns' official line, 22 minutes, obviously he had the foul trouble, so that's, I mean, it just basically took him out of the game for most of the action. 8 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. He had six shots. He didn't take his first official shot. Now, he took a shot early, and he got fouled by Poeltl, so mm-hmm. that wasn't an official shot. But he actually didn't get his first official shot of the game, of the season, until almost 7 minutes into the first quarter.
5:15 mark, I tweeted it out.
Right. And so he ends up with 8 points, 2 of 6 from the field, 9 rebounds, fouled out of the game in 22 minutes. How do they get him more shots? How do they get him more involved in the offense? And I feel like we've asked this question a million freaking times already. But, I mean, obviously I think a good chunk of this is on him. I think a good chunk of this is on other players on the floor. And I think a good chunk of this is on Tom Thibodeau. But how, regardless of where the blame is, how do they get him more shots consistently to where he's not getting taken out of games? And he's got to stay out of foul trouble. But how do they get him involved in the offense? I'm looking at Anthony Davis last night. The Pelicans beat the Rockets. Anthony Davis, I think, let me look at the score here. Let me look at that box score. I think he had 32 points. I think he took 25 shots in the game, if I'm not mistaken. Let me bring up the box score as soon as my internet wants to move a little faster. Okay, Anthony Davis had 32 points against the Rockets. The Pelicans beat the Rockets 131-112.
Mm-hmm.
And AD had 32 points, 16 rebounds, 8 assists. He was 13 of 21 from the field. Now, look, Anthony Davis is better than Karl Anthony Towns. I don't think you're going to get too many people that are going to argue with you on that.
And that's not at all a hot take.
Right. But we know Karl Anthony Towns is skilled. We know he has a lot of offensive skill, and we have seen it enough times to know that this guy can be an unbelievable offensive big man. But how can the Pelicans get Anthony Davis 21 shots in a game when you've got, you know, Nikola Mirotic and you've got Julius Randle coming off the bench and you got Drew Holiday and Etuan Moore and all these other guys that get shots too? So you can't tell me that there's not enough shots to go around. There's plenty of shots to go around with this team. How do we get Karl Anthony Towns more shots? I'm at a loss for words, and this is on Tom Thibodeau to try and figure this out.
Yeah, absolutely. you know, we've been asking this for so long and we just see nothing changing. And it's just more of the same and more of the same. And it really, I mean, it's just to come back to, it's like, well, you're just not trying to at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever towns get apparently just seems to be incidental. And that's the way that they go about getting towns involved. When really, I mean, the action to get town shots and touches should be absolutely deliberate. And it should be something that, you know, you can mix in, given how versatile he is. It's not like you can only camp him out on the low block. There are a myriad of ways to use towns.
But it seems like that's all.
There's just no effort or imagination.
Well, it seems like that's all they're trying to do, though, is to just get him the ball on the low block. And then, you know, maybe somebody else throws up a shot and he gets the offensive rebound and a putback or something like that. There's no effort to get him, to move him around on the floor. It's just he'll sit in the high post. Or they'll put him on the low block. He's a terrific 3-point shooter. Why is he not getting more outside shots? Why are they not running more sets and plays to get him more shots on the perimeter? I mean, this is a 3-point shooting league now.
We talked about this before too. You can still, you know, create offense for other guys and create action for other guys using Towns.
Yes,
I think that goes a long way to keeping him engaged on both ends, and just keeping him active and not having him take, you know, 20 seconds of just standing in the middle of the paint waiting for the ball. I mean, I think keeping him active and engaged, it could create a type of energy that just, you know, spreads to the entire team. And that's especially important when someone like Andrew Wiggins is playing next to you. And I mean, Wiggins had high energy last night, but I think if you can have a team of young guys who are athletic and energetic, you can create a lot of problems for opposing defenses in this league.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you have to be innovative and you have to be creative. Like you have a player who is essentially a Swiss Army knife offensively. Like he can do a bunch of different things. He can put the ball on the floor. He can step outside and hit 3-point shots. He can post up that's probably something that he needs to work on and improve on, but he's not completely incapable or completely inept at doing that. But it can't be the only thing that you're trying to do with him. And I don't know how.
Is there like a fear of failure thing going on where maybe they don't want to do too much and, you know, have it not work out. But when in reality, they should be taking chances with guys like Towns saying, okay, why didn't that work? Okay, well, if we try this, maybe we can do this. Because like we've been saying this entire conversation, there has to be more that you can do with him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. Okay. All right. One other frustration that I have is Anthony Tolliver. He shot, what, 43% from three-point range last year with Detroit?
Yep.
He played 19 minutes in this first game of the season. He took one shot, and it was not a 3-point shot. Why is he here? Why did you bring him here? If you're not going to utilize a skill set that he clearly has, and it's not just, you know, it's not like he just started hitting threes last year. Like, he's been a good 3-point shooter for the last few years now.
Pretty much since leaving Minnesota.
Yeah. So why did you bring him here? It's I'm fine with the amount of playing time he got. He got, what, 19 yeah. minutes? That's fine.
That's all they need.
But why is he out there if you're not going to utilize part of what you brought him in here to do? Why is he only getting one shot? And this is what I'm talking about. Like, you have items and weapons at your disposal. Why are you not utilizing what you have? It's just the same old stuff offensively, and I don't get it.
Here's another thing I noticed. It seemed like, did it seem to you like they were running more pick and roll last night?
It seemed like that was all they were doing.
Yeah, and I mean, how are you not getting any pick and pop for Tolliver out of that, or, you know, or anything out of that type of action to get him a couple threes at least, you know, get him a couple shots within the flow of the offense?
Yeah, so much of it was just you know, a ball screen for Jimmy and a ball screen for Rose or a ball screen for Teague, and then they would just dribble and shoot or drive in, or I mean, it just, there was just no, there was no ball movement, there was no flow to the offense. Look, they've got guys that can play that are pretty good in isolation and can create shots for themselves. I mean, Jimmy's obviously terrific at it.
That has value for sure, yeah.
Yes, and Derrick Rose has always been pretty good at, you know, creating his own shot, even when he takes threes and they don't go in because he's not a good shooter.
Except for his weird yips at the rim last night. I don't know what was up with that. Yeah. I mean, if he's not hitting, you know, layups at the rim, like, what are you doing on the floor?
Right. And so I just don't – again – it sounds like I'm just repeating myself, but there's just no real creativity offensively. It's just ball screen for our guards and let them dribble the air out of the ball or drive in and take a shot and miss it. Or, you know, maybe they make the shot. I just don't, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't, because we saw this so much last year and because we're seeing sort of the very, you know, the same similar things in this first game against the Spurs, I just don't think it's ever really going to change. It just does not look like it's ever going to change. And I this team is going to be in these situations all season long, whether Jimmy Butler is with this team or not. And that, to me, is on coaching. It's on coaching.
Yeah, and it does seem like, I mean, someone will look at their assist totals for their starters, and I have them up right here. Let's see. Wiggins had 3 assists. Fantastic. Awesome.
Yeah.
Do that every single night.
Is that a career high for him?
It's got to be close. Towns, Butler, 3 assists. Teague, 4. The only Timberwolf that played last night out of the 9 that didn't get an assist was Taj Gibson. And you look at that and you figure, oh, okay, well, they're pretty, you know, egalitarian with their ball movement. They don't have just one guy who's setting players up like in the Ricky Rubio days. But yeah, the ball movement just isn't quite there. It isn't where you want it to be. It seems like the foundation of this team, yeah, it's the pick and roll action, which we saw with like Andrew Wiggins, the way he drew defenses in when he drove the lane, and Wiggins kept his head up and was able to, you know, dump it off to Taj, kick it out to Teague for shots. And that's great, but what else are you doing to, you know, keep the defenses, you know, from getting set and established? I do think there's more they can do from there, but I think just having the more pick and roll and actually driving and attacking with purpose rather than just trying to force up a shot is encouraging, but there's definitely more that can be done from here.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we'll see how things go with it, with the opener, the home opener with Cleveland. And I don't know, man, what did you think about, I mean, we kind of talked about Derrick Rose a little bit already, but I mean, he had played 31 minutes and
3 for 12, 8 points.
He
4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 fouls, 1 turnover.
Yeah, and he had the shot at the end that it looked like they were running like a 2-man deal with Butler and Teague, and maybe Wiggins had been involved in it too at the start of it, but it kind of fell apart. The Spurs kind of bottled it up, and Butler had to kind of throw it out to Rose, and Derek just kind of drove into the lane and threw up a wild shot off the glass that didn't hit the rim. And I mean, that's, you're down by 2, and that's obviously not the play that they drew up, but I mean, you got to find a way to get a better shot than that, man. Why not try to
get to the line and just get contact in that situation? I mean, that almost seems preferential to actually, you know, just throwing up the shot that doesn't even hit the rim. Look at the Spurs' execution down the stretch there. I mean, Aldridge and DeRozan were machines.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't that, I don't know, it's just the approaches and the way things are handled by these two teams is just so different. And I mean, things like that decide the game.
Is there anything positive we can take from that first game last night?
Wiggins' energy. I actually, as a whole, I love the way Wiggins played as far as having the energy, getting the rebounds and the assists. And this is what's actually, I think, so maddening about him. It's not that, oh, well, he can't do this and he was taken first overall. It's that he very well can do this every single night and he just doesn't. And we see it one in every 8 games or so.
Yeah.
I mean, this should be the guy that we get every single night. And he went 8 for 18 from the field once he got that Kobe crap out of his system early on. And seriously, if we could just eternal sunshine every Kobe highlight he has ever seen from Wiggins' mind, he would be a much better player. Because I don't think we saw a player last year, you know, who would drive the lane and would also, you know, have the sense to look up and see, oh, Teague is wide open. I don't have to force this over 4 defenders, you know, to hopefully maybe get a foul. Like, that was smart, grown-up basketball that we saw from him. And just the one-on-one effort was there. I do think that's a positive. But, yeah, seeing Jimmy take 23 shots and get 23 points off of it is not encouraging. Though, you know, of course, as always, he does produce in other ways. But yeah, it is only game one. You do like to see Gorgie play well finally. Those are about the only things I got, though. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably agree with all that. Jimmy looked like a guy who had not played a live basketball game in a long time. Like, and
that
he was
very self-inflicted.
Yeah, obviously.
I don't feel sorry for him.
No, I don't. I don't either. But he just, you could kind of see that the legs weren't quite what we're used to seeing with him. And, you know, he missed a few bunny shots and, you know, the just shots that he typically doesn't miss, or usually if he does miss, they look a little bit better when they hit the rim. Like, there was just some that were short. There was a layup that he missed that was like, he got an offensive rebound, I think, and tried to put it back. And it was like it sort of went off the front of the rim, and he just looked like he didn't quite have his legs underneath him. And, you know, like we said, I mean, that was self-inflicted, and he didn't play at all in the preseason aside from whatever pickup games he was playing at.
Running at Lifetime Fitness.
Lifetime Fitness and then the practices that he showed up in and ran with the third stringers. So,
you know, though, I do wonder if part of Jimmy kind of forcing the issue a little bit was not only some of that trying to just shoot through it, but also because Taj and Towns did not have good games last night.
They did not.
So I don't wonder if he did have to try to compensate a little too much for that. But I also do think part of that was definitely forcing it, because he wasn't in rhythm, because he probably hadn't played a live game in 6 months.
Yeah. So, all right, we'll see how things go in the home opener against. What are you expecting? We're a day away from it now, as of this taping. But what do you expect? Is this going to be the rare situation where players from the home team and the away team are both booed? Like,
oh yeah,
I mean,
I bet Kevin Love gets a better reception than Jimmy Butler, right?
Probably, right?
Like, we're far enough past the Love thing where I don't think people care about that anymore, and there's all this going on. Jimmy Butler 1000% gets booed.
Will we see Andrew Wiggins play, show up? I mean, it is the Cavs, right?
Yeah.
But there's no
LeBron, though.
There's no LeBron anymore. So will we see the same type of Wiggins that we've seen against the Cavs in the past? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Oh, man, these would be good prop bets. Although I don't know how you quantify Wiggins plays crazy well against the Cavs. Like, just, it's kind of vague, but yeah. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see, too. I don't know what team we're going to see. We saw last year how they played down to lesser teams, and of course, they'll, like, you've been going to war with us all week. Well, the Cavs aren't, you know, they're no longer a great team, but they're definitely a lesser team without LeBron. Any team that no longer has LeBron is a lesser team. And how they, you know, how the Wolves will adapt to playing a lesser team now will be really interesting to see.
All right. That'll do it for us here. I think we got all our frustrations, at least for after one game, off of our chest.
Skepticisms and...
Yeah. Concerns, gripes, complaints, all that good stuff. All right, you can find Raised by Wolves, of course, on iTunes, podcast1.com, and, of course, 1500ESPN.com. Season number 30 for the Wolves is underway, and we'll see how it continues to go. We'll be with you all season long, talking and analyzing and breaking things down as they progress through the season. For Derek James, I'm Manny Hill. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time on Raised by Wolves.